For that, if I may, just, I'm going to talk about formative assessment. It won't let me switch. I guess I have to escape. If you're looking for more data sources, you can email me as well. I have this link. This is from, sorry, it's small, but this is from my course website where I have students do a similar activity, and I started just compiling a list, and every semester it gets a little longer of some of the similar things. So what I'm going to talk about is formative assessments, and particularly how I'm using Shiny to do this. And of course, I got to start with some definitions. And so for me, formative assessments have been something I've been using for a long time. And when I taught in a classroom, it was pretty easy on the first day of class. I generally teach a intro stats course at the graduate level, and it's always somewhat amusing to me. Maybe this is kind of evil on the first day of class, say, hey, we got a test, and then it's actually just a self-report survey on math anxiety. So this is something I've been doing for a long time because I teach a lot of students in education or social sciences where the course they're taking with me is going to be their only quantitative course. They're scared to death, and so I would collect that. But it served two purposes, right? It got us talking about math anxiety, and they can actually assess and figure out where they are. But it also allowed me to create a real data set that I could use in the course. And so we start talking about means and standard deviations and modes and what have you, I could do that. But now I kind of extended it where I also want to collect some other academic areas. And, you know, sort of the major goal here is to have students take some assessment and they get the feedback right away. They get their score, and perhaps I can write some custom text. If it's, you know, something academic where there's high and low values, I could explain it differently. And so the two major types of formative assessments I'm looking at here are self-report surveys, sort of Likert-based items, and multiple choice assessments. I'm going to talk about two different approaches I've done this. For a while, I was just using Qualtrics in particular, although this could easily be extended to something like SurveyMonkey, where I just have a rich website that, you know, is going to handle the data collection. The data is going to be stored there. I happen to have written an R package for Qualtrics, so I can extract the data directly. And really what I needed to do on the Shiny side is just write a little wrapper. What I'm going to do is create an R markdown file that's going to generate dynamically for each student. But I had to do it through Shiny so I can parse the URL parameters so I can pass those into the R markdown. So when the R markdown gets run, I assume there's some parameter, particularly the response ID. More recently, I'm doing it all in Shiny. The problem with doing everything in Shiny is I can't use Shiny Apps I/O. I have to roll my own Shiny server and manage data collection and data storage. So it's a little bit more complicated, but it's going to be a little bit more flexible. As I'm going to say in future directions, one of the main reasons I'm doing this is I want to create integrated computer adaptive testing algorithm in the collection that I couldn't do, say, through SurveyMonkey or Qualtrics. So looking at the first one, using the service, it's pretty easy. I just create my survey or put my items into the website. And then all I have to do is create an R markdown file. And if you download everything that's all the scripts I have on GitHub, you change a configuration file basically telling me what the input parameter is and what the name of the R markdown file you're using. And then the rest kind of works. And the reason this works is most of the software, when a student completes the survey, you can do this redirection, which I have down here at the bottom. And this is the URL, and the key here is I'm passing in this URL parameter called response ID. This is going to my own particular Shiny server, and that data comes in. So I could show a quick demo here. I'm going to cheat a little bit. So this is, you know, what the survey looks like, and I can exclude this step with the email address. A lot of times what I'll do is I have the student's email addresses, so I can also take advantage of the emailing system available there. But you go through, and this is a typical thing, and when you're done, you get redirected to this. And here, the student is seeing, I'm generally not a fan of these donut charts. It's, one of the criticisms I always have, it's a visualization that shows the least amount of information in the most amount of space, but turns out I wanted to use more space to show a little bit of information, so it worked. But anyways, we can go through, and so this particular one here is an assessment that looks at like mindset and various constructs of academic self-regulation, which is something I want students to be thinking about at the beginning of the course and what their strengths and weaknesses are, and so we talk through this. So it's pretty easy. This is just an R markdown file, pretty easy to generate. That's go back to play here. So the more recent approach is this Shiny-only solution. And the way I'm kind of handling this at the moment is I have this R script that generates a function that you're going to call. And so you need to source that R script. It's currently not in a package. I'm working on that. Now that Shiny's introduced modules, this probably should be a module, but I need to figure that out. There are also some tricks I'm doing that may fail a CRAN check. So I'm doing some cheating that I could talk about at the end. But the idea here is, this first thing is I just need to create this reactive values. I need some place to store my student results. And then I have to create this callback function. So when the assessment is done, this is what I'm going to do is essentially I'm just going to assign it into that. That gets called by this Shiny assessment. So the Shiny assessment function just is passing in all of the usual parameters that go into a Shiny. And I give it a name. Here I'm presuming math items is a data frame that has all of my stems, essentially the questions. I have to pass in a data frame that's going to assume it has the same number, the number of rows and choices is the length of stems, and these are the options, and you can have any number of columns. So here I'm just going to have four possible options for each item. My callback, this is the label for a button and some other little parameters, and then somewhere on my UI, I can just say, so this is called a test, I can just pull out the link name, or if I want to show it as a button, that's what will happen. On the UI side, this is where things get a little tricky, because typically what I want to do is when the student's in assessment mode, I want the assessment to take over the entire page. Sort of been talking to the Shiny folks about another possible approach to do this, and it looks like there may be a better way to do this in the very near future. But essentially, if there's an assessment going on, there's this global variable that I populate. It will do that. So let me jump over. So if I run this, this is what it looks like. And iCloud really wants to do something. So here in this demo, if you download, you can probably modify this pretty quickly. But so on the left side, I just have the buttons. On the right is where I'm going to have some simple results. And if I go through and there's just a few items, I'm not even going to bother reading them. You could see here that the assessment has taken over the entire screen, so there's no distractions. We can have images as in either the stem or the questions. And when we are done, right, so I could see I did fantastic. I got nothing right. You think by random chance I would have gotten at least one, but I didn't. Here, the feedback is pretty minimal, but this can be expanded to be pretty extensive. Typically, what I do in my other assessments is I actually show them, okay, this is what you got wrong, and here's the correct answer, and maybe a little bit of an explanation as to why that's the correct answer. This framework also supports, the Likert type items if you want to do that kind of assessment. How are we doing on time? All right, am I good? Okay, so I got some bonus material. So something else I kind of wanted to do here is add some user authentication. So this is the Qualtrics example or the SurveyMonkey example is great. But you could have problems where people just get the URL and complete it. But if I want to have user, I would kind of want to wrap this around and create an account for a student. So I don't know how to pronounce his first name, but I think it's Tan, had developed an R script to do authentication with Shiny on the free version. I know Shiny Pro can have authentication, and it uses MD5s, I think, or some kind of encryption. I hope it's good. I'm not a security person. But what I did is made some modifications to allow, for one thing, to allow the user to log out, and then also the capabilities to create an account on the fly. So this is kind of a nice something that other folks might want to take a look. And the way this works, so here I don't have any accounts because I just did this fresh. So, you can have somebody create an account. I'll just create a simple one. I think I have some basic validation. So if the username already exists, there would be an error message. So here we go. We could see I'm logged in. I have an email in the back end. I can define groups, but I could log out and kind of go back over here, and hopefully if I remember what I typed there, you know, I could do this. And this is kind of a nice little extension to that framework. I think I have some, I got 5 minutes here. So this is what it looks like. And so it's pretty simple here, where there's this global variable in the Shiny app called user that allows you to do some stuff. So the bottom part here is where the login UI is defined. So the when you source the login script, it will create these the UI login and UI new account kind of UI elements. And then at the top, all you got to do is really check if user is logged, and then you would display what you want to display if they're logged in. You could display something else if they're not logged in. And this kind of scales pretty nicely. So for future directions, I would like to implement these bits and pieces as Shiny modules. I'm going to create an R package to make it a little bit easier. For now, you can just download the R script and use it. And like I said, I'm getting close to having at least an early form of a computer adaptive testing framework so that I can adapt what items students get when I have a large items. I should say, so if you go to dax.net, this is funded in part, this is early work, prototype work that I did for a Department of Education grant where we're trying to develop a no-stakes formative assessment in lieu of placement exams. And so Shiny was great. I once upon a time was a computer programmer, but Shiny allowed me to really prototype this out pretty relatively quickly so that I could actually show it to folks and put it into a grant application. So now we're making this a little bit more robust for use for our students as they come in. So the first GitHub has all the sample scripts for the three demos I showed here. And if you want to see a more robust implementation with the user logging in, and in addition to the formative assessments, I think there's two implemented at the moment, you could go to that second GitHub page. And I guess I probably have some time here to entertain any questions. Sure. So it depends on which format. Oh, I'm sorry. The question is, how does the data persist across instances? So obviously on the survey one, it just persists in the survey website. So I need to be able to connect and download it. On the Shiny version, in there you'll see I have a little wrapper class that I call it data cache. And for now, in the simplest one, I'm just saving our data objects to the disk. Probably not the best, but what I did is I wrote it through this object so that at some later point, I'm going to change that to write it to a database. So there's essentially I'm wrapping insert and select so that for now I can write to disk, but at some later point I can write to a database. For users for authentication, yeah, it would be the same. So right now, when you create it, it puts it into an R data object, and then, but it's probably pretty simple to. It's simple to change the R code to save it and write it to a database. What is hard is for me to set up the database server. I'm not a system admin, so, and what that website is hosted on DigitalOcean because I find it much easier to spin up DigitalOcean instances than to use Amazon Web Services, for instance, which would probably be a more robust implementation. Now, for my teaching for classes, I always use DigitalOcean. I tend to use a lot of Roxygen, so I can just spin up instances for students, depending on which course. So now I teach for the City University of New York in a data science program. Those students I find are very capable. They usually come with R already installed on the first day. When I taught education students in the University of Albany, when I told them that we're going to use R and not SPSS, once the groan stopped, recently I would say, okay, but here's your login. You don't even need to install anything. Just go to this website, and here's your RStudio instance. And so this all works very nicely there.
Formative assessment than something via Scantron. Do you think that's something that could be built-in, or do you think that would be really tough for a user to
build? So the question is, you know, for the layperson who doesn't know R, how are they going to do this? For creating the assessments, the ones that I'm showing there, the items are actually all on a spreadsheet. I use CSV, but there's no reason why you can't use Excel and read Excel files. So that's how I create the assessments. The feedback could actually be done that way. So in the self-report, like the survey type data, what I actually do is in that assessment, I have three different columns where what to show the student if they score in the low, what they what to show them if they in the medium and high, right? They're weak, average, and strong, right? And so that's all can be driven through that. So there's actually very minimal R interaction. It's just, you know, change this configuration file to look for this spreadsheet that has all the feedback. Now, if you want to do something a little bit more, you could do the same for the multiple choice, actually, what to show when you get right, what to show to get wrong. So I'm working towards that to make it more or less a copy, put in your spreadsheet, and then just go. This is, I have to say, this is relatively early work. This is the earliest I've ever presented something I'm working on at a conference, but I kind of wanted to get some exposure. And it's on GitHub, so I happily take pull requests if somebody's interested in collaborating. I gladly do that.
Any other questions? Yes?
This is just a comment. You may also think about using Google Spreadsheet to explore
the data. Yeah, so the question is using Google Spreadsheet, but I think this came up in the last talk that Google Spreadsheets I find to be pretty temperamental, shall we say. I like having a little bit more stability. But yes, you're absolutely right. And I think I looked into it. SurveyMonkey should be fairly trivial. I think there's somebody wrote an R, there's a SurveyMonkey R package to access it. So it would just be a matter of tweaking that a little bit. Thank you very much. Are you using your laptop?